My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And he with a heart sought the Lord. And that's what we see here in verse 10. Here is his earnest petition, his testimony. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now David, having set forth that principle for a young man in verse 9 of taking heed to the word of God, and as we saw, it's not just for young men, it's also for all of us. Well, having set forth that principle, now he asks God earnestly for help. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Well, here's these words here before us. And I'd like us to consider two things as we turn to them tonight. Firstly, seeking the Lord from the heart. And then secondly, asking the Lord to keep us from wandering. Asking the Lord to keep us from wandering. Well, first of all, the first half of the text tonight, seeking the Lord from the heart. Seeking the Lord from the heart. Now you notice as you read these words in verse 10, the first part of the verse, it's David's testimony. With my whole heart have I sought thee. He's looking back. He's considering before this time that he has sought the Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Again and again he so sought the Lord with a believing heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Well, we're thinking here of seeking the Lord from the heart. Well, here David says, I sought thee. The Hebrew word dorash means to tread, to search, to seek, or to ask. You may be out in the garden, you lose something. And then you go searching for it. You tread around the garden. You go seeking. Often in our house, it's a pair of glasses. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Sharon. And we have to go searching. We go walking around, looking. What a Hebrew word then, to tread, to search, to seek, to ask. And as you see, right at the root, which is the word to tread, which then from that word comes to search, to seek, and to ask, it speaks of activity. One, as it were, is getting up, and they're pursuing the Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Here then is David, he's looking back and he considers that with a purpose, he sincerely sought the Lord. And dear brethren, when we engage in prayer, we are to have this purpose of seeking the Lord. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's this purpose. And it's good therefore, isn't it, in the home, in family worship, or in public worship, just to prepare ourselves before we come to the Lord. I was encouraged to hear yesterday, just before I left, that they asked all the campers to gather, and they had to be there 5 minutes before the beginning of the service, there in quietness, to prepare their hearts. Well, that's a good principle. And it's a scriptural principle, Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee in Zion. And the Hebrew word for waiteth is silent. And there is this silence, waiting for the Lord. Spurgeon uses this illustration to illustrate the point there. It's like an orchestra. After the initial tuning of the instruments, there they are in silence, waiting for the conductor. And then when the conductor comes, then it begins. Praise waiteth for thee. We're waiting, as it were, for the Lord in silence, preparing the heart. You see, we're treading, we're making this search, we're coming to the Lord. It's good to be quiet before times of family worship and public worship, just to prepare ourselves. We're coming to meet the Lord. I was in the congregation a few years ago, and I saw the minister come in. And there he stood up in the pulpit. And he deliberately waited a minute or two for the congregation to be quiet. I'm thankful that doesn't happen here. We're coming to the Lord, aren't we? We're searching for him. We're seeking him. We're coming to meet the Lord. How amazing it is. Often one may pray in prayer that the Lord will graciously draw near. And we need to pray that in times of public worship, because it's only of grace the Lord draws near. We're coming to meet with the Lord. Does it not put a different perspective on things when we consider the one we are coming to? We're coming to the Lord, and chiefly to glorify him in prayer, as the Lord taught in that pattern prayer, for it begins with God and ends with God. We're coming to meet with him, and we're coming to glorify him, even on our own in the home. With my whole heart have I sought thee. There's the psalmist. He's made that purposeful activity. He's treading. He's searching. He's seeking the Lord. Well, let's think first of all, in times of worship, we come to seek the Lord. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. The Lord calls us, and we respond by seeking him and praising him and praying unto him. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. There it is. We're coming into the presence of the Lord and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We're coming before the Lord. Yes, dear brethren, he is with you each and every day. But oh, what a special privilege is ours when we gather as saints. We come into his special presence. Times of public worship. Let's just pause and consider times of public prayer. We're coming to the Lord. We're seeking him. You recall in the days of Jehoshaphat, the Moabites and others had invaded the land. Jehoshaphat, we are told in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Did you know those words? He set himself. He did something before he prayed. He set himself. He prepared himself. He thought about the Lord, and then he communed with him. And then we go on to read, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. There they are. They came to seek the Lord. And there was public prayer from different places. Out of all the cities of Judah, from different places, they came together. And it reminds me of these meetings that now take place in this chapel every quarter, from different places. People are coming to seek the Lord, to ask him for help. Public prayer. In a day of great declension, the Lord has promised to hear his humble people. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their land, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You see there, the call of the Lord there, for the Lord's people to humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We're looking for revival. The Lord will revive because of his grace, but prayer always precedes revival. Let's keep gathering to pray. The great call for the church today is to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. You know what we do here every quarter? Should be happening all over our land. We're thankful for certain places where it is taking place, but it should be all over our land. We as the Lord's people in this country, we need to seek the face of the Lord in prayer and plead for the situation again and again. And dear brethren, take comfort. There are some churches in this area coming together for prayer. Let's be in expectation of what the Lord will do. So then, times of public prayer. But then let's consider those individual searches for God. Just think of that, those searches for God you make each and every day. You're searching for the Lord. As sometimes, as we see in the Song of Solomon, we seek but we don't find. I sought him but I found him not. But it wasn't long, as we see in the Song of Solomon, I held him and would not let him go. Precious are those times when we hold on to Christ. These last two nights, I haven't been able to sleep for a few hours, because the Lord has been so precious to me. And precious are the times when the Lord draws near in our quiet times. We make these searches for God. Keep on making those searches for God. With my whole heart, have I sought thee? I've sought thee. One begins to think about prayer. Think about the Lord. There are those set times, but then also those sudden times of prayer. You know what I mean? You're going along in the car and something comes to your mind. You just say a prayer, or you're about to go into some place or do something and you just say a little prayer and you search God for help. You search God for blessing before you do such a thing. So the set times, but also the sudden times, one begins to think about the Lord. One begins to talk, at least in their hearts, like it was for Hannah all those years ago. One begins to pray. There's this drawing near to the Lord. Dear brethren, it's good to be taught again and again, isn't it? We come to the Lord in prayer. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? When we come to our set times and we think about God. And in those sudden times we just think about God. Oh, to remember it each and every day. To remember the one we're coming to. We considered last Lord's Day morning, he is so great. What a great God we have come to again this evening hour. And what a great God you come to in your own homes. You go to one who inhabits eternity and delights to be with you in your own home. He's so great. He's so holy. As we think of that, we need to tread carefully. Remember the root of the word again? It's this treading, this searching. Tread carefully. And at certain times you have to tread very carefully, don't you? Every time we come to God in prayer, we ought to tread carefully. We're to approach with deep reverence. We're to exercise faith. We're to think about what we are doing. Hebrews 12, verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The apostle thinks of the greatness and the holiness of God, and coming to him with reverence and godly fear. And why can we go? Because of his amazing grace. Because of our blessed Redeemer. There is access. Go carefully to the Lord. As you think of this Hebrew word again, at the root, tread. Tread carefully. Can I speak practically? Around the meal table, tread carefully before you eat your food. Some Christians I've heard in the past, and I'm not speaking of anybody here, some Christians I've heard in the past say a prayer so quickly that they haven't thought about the Lord at all. They haven't prayed. They've just said a prayer. Tread carefully in prayer before you eat your food. For whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Tread carefully as you come to him. And remember, through Christ, you're welcome. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go boldly. There's liberty. Why? Because of our Saviour. Oh, think of all the sufferings he went through. And one of the reasons was that we can pray again and again to our gracious God. There's access through him. Tread carefully. Come to him each and every day, as Daniel did in Daniel 6, verse 10. Go on those sunny days and also on those stormy days. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord when it's well. Seek the Lord when it's difficult. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. In my distress, dear brethren, we'll follow the example of the Saviour there. Because we see the great distress he was in that psalm, as we cross-reference to Samuel and to Hebrews 2. In my distress I called upon the Lord. Be Christ-like in your days of sorrow. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He sought the Lord in his distress. Seek the Lord in your days of sorrow. Walk in his footsteps, the footsteps of your Redeemer. In Psalm 77, verse 2, we read, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I sought him. I expect quite a few out in America over these last few days, because of the Hurricane Harvey, have sought the Lord. In the days of trouble, seek him. Seek him. When you're perplexed, seek him. When you're in great distress or in straits, and everything seems to be coming down upon you, as like a path where the walls seem to enclose and get closer to the path, seek the Lord. Tread, pursue. Go to the Lord. Go to your refuge, as we shall consider this Lord's Day morning. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Now consider what the psalmist says here. With my whole heart have I sought thee. He considers what he's done. Dear brethren, you can look back. You can consider what you have done in days of difficulty, and the Lord heard you. Let that be an encouragement to keep seeking him in days of difficulty. Let it be known, and I know it is, that you are those who seek the Lord not just on the sunny days, but also on the stormy days as well. Now David's testimony was this, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And we see simply there, his heart was in it. He wasn't half-hearted. It wasn't just a form of words, but he with his heart sought the Lord. Now many do not draw near to the Lord in this way. You remember our Lord said of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 15 and verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Those religious men drew near to the Lord, but their hearts were far away. How many thousands in our country who attend this state church? I know it's not all of them, but how many in the state church and other churches as well, seek outwardly the Lord, but their heart is far from him. The Lord looks down on the professing church in this country, and he views many who have not the grace of love in their hearts. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What a solemn thing to say a prayer and not know the Lord. Yet there's so many in this country like that. They honour me with their lips, says the Lord, but their heart is far from me. The heart is far away. Many attend services, many pray each and every day, and they ask God for certain things, but their heart is far from him. Many pretend to seek the Lord before him, but God is not fooled. It was said of Ephraim in Hosea 7 verse 14, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. You see there, they were seeking the Lord for provision. In the day of difficulty, they were crying to the Lord, but they weren't truly praying. Their heart was not in the cry, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. How many pray like that? Because they do not know the Lord. Dear brethren, the Lord has given us a new heart, and we come with believing hearts. Yes, at times we need to exercise more faith, but we do come with a believing heart, hearts that have been touched by the blessed physician. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With a heart, Lord, I know thee. I love thee. And my heart is in the prayer. Dear brethren, we have this new heart. And the Lord knows that our hearts are not far away from him, because he's dealt with our hearts. And the Lord resides within. However, let's seek the Lord wholeheartedly in prayer. What do I mean? Exercise faith. Exercise love. Think about the Lord as you pray. Yes, you've got a heart for him. Let your heart be beating for him when you pray. Go open-hearted to the Lord. Be sincere. Be diligent. Proverbs 7 verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Psalm 34 verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. There's the psalmist, he diligently sought the Lord. Dear brethren, what a blessing it is to seek the Lord, because we know him. Many seek him, but they do not know him. But we do, and we can pour out our hearts. It's our testimony, isn't it? With my whole heart have I sought thee. I'm going to do again tonight what I've done in my life as a believer. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Well, let's consider secondly, asking the Lord to keep us from wandering. Asking the Lord to keep us from wandering. Now the psalmist, he has this testimony. With my whole heart have I sought thee. My heart has been touched and I'm praying. Now he has a request. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. There's much danger as you walk in this world. There's Satan as a roaring lion. I was watching earlier a little documentary with the boys just after tea on these lions out in Africa. And they were so weary and tired. And there were these elephants passing through, and it was the hot season. And they went to this waterhole and the lions were watching. In the daytime, the elephants had the upper hand. But in the nighttime, because lions can see better in the dark than elephants, the lions had the upper hand. And they stalked this weak elephant. And 30 lions took it down and killed it. Remember, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then we have many other enemies as well. There's danger as we walk in this world. And then consider this, in light of our text tonight, through sin we can wander from God and his commandments. Out of love, do not we want to keep the commandments? John 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We love the Lord. We want to keep the commandments, don't we? We want to keep 10, all 10 of them, perfectly. That's our desire. That's our desire, isn't it? We're not content with sinning against the Lord, are we? No, we want to keep the commandments perfectly, but we fail. But we want to because we love the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. We've listened to those words in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. From the very depths of our hearts we love the Lord. And we want to keep his commandments. Including the fourth commandment. Because of love to Christ. We do not want to err, do we? We don't want to wander. But we, like the psalmist, need to make this prayer. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We do not want to wander. We do not want to disobey. We don't want to grieve our heavenly Father, do we? We don't want to have to face chastisement because we've grieved him. No, we want to please him. We want to know the light of his countenance. But sadly we are. We do wander. The psalmist knew it. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Through bitter experience, he knew what it was to wander from the Lord. And so he earnestly makes the sincere prayer. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I begin with myself. I know what it is to wander. One of old wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We feel it. What a blessing it is when we begin to feel it. It It's a dark time, isn't it, when we don't feel our wanderings. We've been going on, but then the Holy Spirit, he puts the finger on us and we feel it. We do wonder. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, wrote, "The more experiences men have of the ways of God, the more sensible they will be of their readiness to wonder." And what's the Puritan saying there? The more we grow, the more we learn of God's word, we are more sensible that it is so easy to wander from God's word. The more we learn, the more we know. We're prone to wander. The word here, wander, from the Hebrew is shogal, which means to stray, to transgress, to err, to wander. We're thinking of a flock then, aren't we? To stray. We can learn a lot by studying sheep. There are times when the flock feeds on the lush grass. There's times of feeding for us, and we're satisfied, are we not? There are times when the flock or the sheep lie down, and there's times for us when we lie down and the Lord seems so near, and we're refreshed and revived, and our souls seem so blessed. There are times when the flock run because they hear the shepherd's voice and they know there will be food. And there's times when we are so aware of the voice of the Lord and, I must make my way. I will seek thee for food today. There are times when the flock bleat out of danger. There are times when we seek him, though we may know that weakness within and we can hardly say words, but we seek him because of the danger. But then think of the flock. Sheep at times go astray, and we know the reality of that at times. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. There are times when we go astray. I think again that the sheep, sometimes they can be so engrossed in something that they don't realise they've wandered. And that can happen. Oh, for the shepherd to draw near. Dear brethren, we need the shepherd. And do you see here, as we look at the Hebrew word again, the psalmist is considering the shepherd, the Lord. He's triune God, and he's particularly thinking, I believe again, of Christ. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And we consider the shepherd. He said to us, if ye love me, keep thy my commandments. Oh, let me not wander, blessed shepherd. Come near. Oh, we need him, dear brethren. At times we just do not fully grasp how much we need Jesus. How he's taking care of you. How he's kept you from certain dangers today. He knew the dangers. We didn't. Maybe some of them. But he kept us from them. And how much we need him. We need him for everything. For without me ye can do nothing. That's amazing, isn't it? But how often I forget that. I can do nothing. How we need him. How we need him to come and restore our souls. For at times we wander. Those lovely words in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. There's a number of reasons we can say that. It's been cold, the trial has been so difficult, and he brings that comfort. He restores comforts, as we saw the other day in light of Psalm 147 and verse 4. He healeth the broken in heart. He restores comforts. We can be weary and he lifts us up. One can wander, but the shepherd comes and restores the soul. Outwardly, it doesn't look like we've wandered. But inwardly the Lord knows. And so he does that wonderful work of restoring the soul. He does what none other can do. He touches the soul and he restores it. He brings our souls near. Through his Spirit he causes us to think of the blessed word. He causes us to think on him. He restores. We need to ask him to restore at times. It's good when we humbly ask, knowing we need that restoring because we have wandered. So at times our prayer must be, come after me, Lord. Do not leave me in this state. Come after me, Lord. Blessed shepherd, thou who dost so look upon me, come after me. The Lord went after Peter. The Lord goes after us. And are we not thankful the Lord goes after us at times, even when we haven't asked him to do so? Now that's not a reason why we don't need to worry, no. But let's be thankful, despite our shortcomings in prayer, there have been times when he's come to restore our soul, he's come after us, but oh, pray it. Come, Lord, to me. Take the staff, though it may hurt me, and bring me near again. We don't like inward pain, do we? Sometimes the Lord has to use it to bring us near to him. Take the staff, Lord. Bring me near. Bring me near to thy heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments, says the psalmist. You see, the Spirit had so worked on his mind, he thought again of the word. He turned his feet unto the Lord's testimonies. But he's in that place of wondering, oh, seek me, Lord. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Like a lost sheep. He wasn't a lost sheep. Do you notice that there? Like a lost sheep. Oh, dear brethren, we need to pray the Lord would seek us. That Christ through his Spirit would come near to us and get hold of us and deal with us and bring us nearer. He would lift our minds and so cause us to focus on him. That he would so fix our eyes on him so we're looking unto him. We're exercising faith, looking unto Jesus. We're told, oh, to fix our eyes again, that we are so looking unto him. The psalmist there said, I had gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. They come to his mind. Are we not thankful for that moment, though it may be painful, when the word of God comes to our minds, when the commandments come to our minds, when those words of Christ come to our minds, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Yes, Lord, I love thee. Forgive me, Lord. I've not been keeping the commandments as I should. The Holy Spirit had so impressed upon David the commandments that he wants to be sought by the Lord. Be thankful, dear brethren, that the Holy Spirit who lives within, who has access to your soul, impresses the commandments on you and glorifies Christ. He points you to Christ. He stirs your soul, and the shepherd comes and restores you. And what do we read here? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. David knew the reality. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Come and help me, Lord. Here's a little request. A request he knew he so needed to pray, because he had learned by experience what it was to wander. Here he is then, as a child asking. A child in the school would put up their hand, and the teacher comes. The teacher knows that the child needs help. Make it known to him who already knows. Make it known that you need help. There's something in your life, and the Lord's speaking to you through this word tonight. I've wandered on this thing. Lord, help me. Turn my little feet to thy testimonies. Cause me to go. Forgive me, Lord, and help me. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me not wander. Now let me underline at this point. When we wander, it's our fault. When we fall into temptation, it's our fault. But oh, let us pray these words, like as we pray, lead us not into temptation. When we fall into temptation, it's our fault. Lead us not into temptation. Oh Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. Here's our prayer. But if we do wander, it's our fault. But we pray again. I'm prone to wander, Lord, but I don't want to wander. We don't want to wander from Christ, do we? We want to be so near Christ. We want to be like that one in the Song of Solomon. I held him and would not let him go. So near to Christ. We don't want to be at a distance because of our own sin. Sometimes there's a distance, and the Lord is teaching us for some other reason, but sometimes there's a distance because we've wandered. It's implied, isn't it? We've erred, we've wandered. We don't want to be far away. We want to be close to Christ. Draw me closer, Lord. Come quickly, close the distance. I need thy help. Come in thy power and help me, Lord. Be near to me. Now, one of the translators of the Authorised Version, Lancelot Andrews, who lived in 1555 to 1626, said this in prayer: Lord, be thou within me to strengthen me, without me to keep me, above me to protect me, beneath me to uphold me, before me to direct me, behind me to keep me from straying, round about me to defend me. Blessed be thou, Lord our Father, forever and ever. Did you note those words? Keep me from straying. Be behind. Be before me to lead me. Be behind to keep an eye on me. And when I wander, come quickly and draw me, for I want to be close to thee. Dear brethren, we want to be closer and closer to Christ, do we not? Until we are in his immediate presence. So is this not our daily prayer? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, for the commandments point us to Christ. The commandments point us to our amazing God. Draw me closer, Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You see, brethren, when we wander from the commandments, we wander from the lawgiver. Oh, to be brought close to Christ. Here's the psalmist. He's looking to the shepherd. He sees himself as the sheep, and he's looking to Christ. Don't let me wander, Lord. Make it your prayer. Blessed shepherd, thou didst give thy life for me. Do not let me wander, and if I do because of my own sin, draw me closer. Come and restore my soul. Let us pray.